10 WBZH 910 AM W245 CT Hayward. Always streaming on the
ABC
Civic
News,
Media
I'm
app.
Justin Finch. The five Americans freed from an Iranian prison are now back in the U.S. Here's ABC News Chief White House Correspondent Mary Bruce.
After years of negotiations just a short while ago, the five Americans touching down finally back home. It comes as President Biden is here preparing to deliver his annual address at the United Nations General Assembly. Now, the Iranian president is also here at the UN General Assembly, but don't expect any kind of meeting between him and President Biden. The White House is making it very clear that this deal is not a sign that the U.S. relationship with Iran is going to be changing in any way. They say they are not easing up on Iran.
India has expelled a senior Canadian diplomat and accuses Canada of interfering in its internal affairs. That coming a day after Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau said there were credible allegations that India was connected to the assassination of a Sikh activist in Canada. This is ABC News. Police in Los Angeles say they have a confession from the suspect in the murder of a Los Angeles County Sheriff's deputy. Kevin Salazar, arrested for gunning down Deputy Ryan Klinkenbrumer. More trouble for comedian Russell Brand as he faces allegations of sexual assault. YouTube has turned off the ability for him to make money off his videos, and the BBC has removed some of his material from its streaming archive. Gas prices up 6 cents a gallon on average across the country in the last week, but in California, they're in overdrive.
Catherine Nibley owns a mobile pet grooming business, and where she lives in Pasadena, regular unleaded is now all of a sudden $6.16 a gallon.
It's real tough. I had to stop going farther places.
Analysts are blaming the rise on refinery problems, especially in the West. The average price of regular unleaded has shot up 50 cents a gallon in the past month in California. Alex Stone, ABC News, Los Angeles.
Justin Finch, ABC News.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin lawmakers are proposing a bill to allow skateboarding on public roadways in the state. According to a WTMJ report, skateboards are currently considered play vehicles and are only allowed on crosswalks in the state. State Senator Chris Larson is co-sponsoring the bill and says the current law leaves out a legitimate form of transportation, doesn't consider those without access to skate parks, and is not enforced equally statewide. Wisconsin Republicans have announced their $614 million plan to use state and local funds for renovations at American Family Field. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss says roughly $200 million would come from Milwaukee County and the city of Milwaukee, and the Brewers would contribute about $100 million. Speaker Voss also noted that this plan would not raise taxes for residents. Under the proposal, the Brewers would extend their lease with the city of Milwaukee to 2050. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
The Cripes Cast with Charlie Behrens.
Today, I am talking to the owner of Funky Fresh Spring Rolls, my friend, Truman McGee.
From an environmentally friendly perspective, yeah, the fact that it's frozen means that it's not going to waste.
I am a cereal strawberry abuser. If you're a fruit and you're watching this, stay away from me, okay? Do not jump in my shopping cart because I will let you die.
Cripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
More than 80 million Americans depend on AM radio each month for news, weather, and emergency information. A new bill in Congress would make sure AM radio remains in cars. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
In another lifetime, one of toil and blood, when blackness was a virtue, the road was full of mud. I came in from the wilderness, a creature void of form. Come in, she said, I'll give you shelter from the storm. And if I pass this way again, you can rest assured I'll always do my best for her, on that I give my word. In a world of steel at death and men who are fighting to be warm, come in, she said, I'll give ya shelter from the storm. Not a word was spoke between us, there was a little risk involved. Everything up to that point had been left unresolved. Try imagining a place where it's always safe and warm. Come in, she said, I'll give you shelter from the storm. I was burned out from exhaustion, buried in the hail, poisoned in the bushes and blown out on the trail. Hunted like a crocodile, ravaged in the corn. Come in, she said, I'll give you shelter from the storm. Suddenly I turned around and she was standing there, with silver bracelets on her wrists and flowers in her hair. She walked up to me so gracefully and took my crown of thorns. Come in, she said, I'll give you shelter from the storm. Now there's a wall between us, something that's been lost. I took too much for granted, I got my signals crossed. Just pretend till it all began on a non-eventful morn. Come in, she said, I'll give you shelter from the storm. The deputy walks on hard nails and the preacher rides a mount. But nothing really matters much, it's doom alone that counts. And the one-eyed undertaker, he blows a feudal horn. Come in, she said, I'll give ya shelter from the storm. I've heard newborn babies wailing like a moaning dove, and old men with broken teeth stranded without love. Do I understand your question, man? Is it hopeless and forlorn? Come in, she said, I'll give you shelter from the storm.
Yeah, come on in, I'll give you shelter from the storm. It's Bob Dylan on a Tuesday morning. Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show, hour number two. And we have 57 degrees and sunshine in Hayward right now. In La Crosse, 61 degrees and partly cloudy skies. And the next topic that I want to get to is related to shelter from the storm. It's about the climate. And I came across a story in The Nation, or at thenation.com. This was just posted today with a headline that says, Making Climate the Everything Story. The news media needs to stop treating climate change as a niche topic and start treating it as the most important story of our time. This story is by Mark Hertzgard and Kyle Pope. Mark Hertzgard, by the way, executive director of Covering Climate Now, a global journalism initiative committed to more and better coverage of the climate story. He is also the environment correspondent for The Nation and author of books including Hot, Living Through the Next 50 Years on Earth. Kyle Pope, editor-in-chief and publisher of the Columbia Journalism Review, previously worked as an editor at Condé Nast, The Wall Street Journal, and The New York Observer. In 2017, he testified before Congress about threats to the press. And this is what they're saying. The climate crisis has become inescapable in much of what we see, hear, and read. Don't Look Up spent weeks as the most streamed movie ever on Netflix. Pop star Billie Eilish sings about hills burning in California. At the bookstore, climate fiction has become a genre of its own, while Jeff Goodell's The Heat Will Kill You First, a harrowing nonfiction account of what life on a warming planet will mean, is entering its second month on the New York Times bestseller list. And where is journalism in all of this? Despite living through the hottest summer in history, as well as wildfires, tropical storms, and rapidly warming oceans, the news media continues to be outdone by popular culture when it comes to telling the most urgent story of our time. Inexplicably, climate change remains a niche concern for most mainstream news outlets. Most American TV coverage of this summer's hellish weather did not even mention the words climate change, much less explain that the burning of oil, gas, and coal is what's driving that hellish weather. Too many newsrooms continue to see climate as a siloed beat of specialists. There are, of course, notable exceptions. The Guardian, for example, has long delivered abundant, science-based, comprehensive coverage of the climate crisis, as well as its solutions, as have other big global outlets, such as the AFP News Agency and Al Jazeera. But those outlets, as excellent as they often are among the outliers. Much of the rest of media, particularly television, which even in today's digital era remains the leading source of news globally for the largest number of people, struggle to find their climate footing. We wish it were otherwise. As founders of Covering Climate Now, a global journalism collaboration formed to break the climate silence that long prevailed in the media, we've been working to help our colleagues throughout the news business amp up their coverage of the climate story. It says here, in 2019, the media's climate silence began to break, and in the past 4 years, we've seen encouraging successes in the United States. Major outlets, including the Washington Post, now treat climate change as a subject to cover every day and not solely as a weather story. Telemundo 51, a Spanish-language TV station in Miami, is pursuing an all-of-newsroom approach that encourages reporters on every beat to talk about climate change, including its solutions. And overseas, France Television, which is France's counterpart to Britain's BBC, has jettisoned traditional weathercasts in favor of a daily weather climate bulletin where viewers can track global warming in real time as an 8-digit electronic counter shows how much today's temperatures exceed the pre-industrial average. As of September 12th, the number was 1.1982 degrees Celsius, which in Fahrenheit degrees would be a higher number. These mold-breaking innovations are notable, but they remain exceptions. Dramatic changes in climate have made increased news coverage of extreme weather unavoidable. But explaining the climate connection to extreme weather is a different task. News coverage needs to start systematically pointing out the links between changes in the weather and the decisions being made by industry and government that have overheated the planet. As journalists, we have to do better. The broad general public needs to understand what is happening, why it matters, and above all, that they can help fix it. For example, by voting, by not buying unsustainable products, and by talking to friends and family about doing the same. Journalism is at its best when it effectively explains and connects the dots between seemingly disparate events. That means, for instance, learning lessons from how the media covered COVID. Also, a sprawling, complicated story dictated by science. Nobody in the media debated the need to dedicate resources to helping audiences understand COVID and then playing the story big. Most outlets ran multiple COVID stories every day, which helped even casual news consumers understand that something important was happening. Journalists grounded our coverage in science, but we didn't silo it on the science desk. We covered COVID as a health story, a politics story, a business education, and a lifestyle story. And we talked not only about the problem, but also about its solutions. For instance, masking, social distancing, and vaccinations. Climate change could take the same approach. Every newsroom in every community needs to think about climate change not as a beat, but as a through line involving everything we do. No corner of the newsroom is exempt, not business or culture, not sports or city hall. On the national level, journalism has to figure out how to make climate change central to our politics coverage. Next year, we'll bring elections in the U.S., the U.K., the European Union, India, Indonesia, Mexico, and Egypt that will have profound effects on the prospects for global climate action. Can politics reporters and editors scale back their fixation on horse race coverage and instead provide the kind of coverage that voters need to make informed decisions? 18 minutes after 9 o'clock, got to take a break. It'll be a short one, so stick around. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
We gotta save the world. Someone else may wanna use it. So far we've seen this planet's rape, how we've abused it. We gotta save the world.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous.
as in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. Highs level off around 75 this afternoon. Under overcast skies, winds out of the southeast, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Lows around 55. Tonight, partly cloudy skies. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Tomorrow, highs around 83. Upper 70s Thursday with a chance for scattered storms. Turning cooler Friday with highs in the upper 70s. Chance for storms continues. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 60.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. 12:15, Town Call. 1 p.m., The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn directs WLAK.
Whoa, oh, mercy, mercy me. All things ain't what they used to be now. Where did all the blue skies go? Poison is the wind that blows from the north and south and east. Oh, mercy, mercy me. All things ain't what they used to be. Oil wasted on the oceans and upon high seas. Fish full of mercury. Mercy, mercy me. All things ain't what they used to be. Radiation underground and in the sky. Animals and birds who live nearby are alive. Oh, mercy, mercy me. All things ain't what they used to be. What about this overcrowded land? How much more we use from man? Can't you stand
it? Oh, mercy, mercy me. At 22 minutes after 9 o'clock, music from Marvin Gaye. A song that's, what, 50 years old now? Talking about the environment, ecology, what's going on, how mankind has really affected what's become of our environment. And now 50 years later, we're still dealing with this. By the way, let me tell you first that we've got 59 degrees in Richland Center right now, 60 degrees in Eau Claire. And just before the break, I was going over a story from The Nation with a headline that says, Making Climate the Everything Story. Because it is obviously the most important story. If the earth becomes uninhabitable, none of the other stories matter, right? This piece from The Nation was written by Mark Hertzgard and Kyle Pope, and they are suggesting that every story that journalists write should include the climate angle. How is this affecting the climate? Obviously, the people we vote for can have a big effect on the climate because so many politicians and or elected officials just act like it's not a big deal, some even saying that it's a hoax. Just before the break, I was at the part of the story in The Nation that asks the question, can politics reporters and editors scale back their fixation on horse race coverage and instead provide the kind of coverage that voters need to make informed choices? Election coverage should help audiences understand what the candidates
will do about the climate crisis if elected, not just what they say. It should hold candidates accountable, not by asking them, as Fox did at the first U.S. Republican debate last month, whether they believe in climate change, but rather, quote, what is your plan to deal with the climate crisis? Overall, we also need much more and better coverage of climate solutions. Our colleagues at the Solutions Journalism Network have rightly criticized news coverage that talks only about what's wrong. Understanding a problem is important, of course, but telling the whole story also requires examining how that problem might be fixed. What else does more and better climate coverage mean? We expect some answers to emerge this week at Climate Changes Everything, Creating a Blueprint for Media Transformation, a conference at the Columbia Journalism School in New York, co-sponsored by Covering Climate Now. Our founders, the Columbia Journalism Review and The Nation, our lead media partner, The Guardian, and the Solutions Journalism Network. Reporters and editors from news outlets worldwide, large and small, commercial and nonprofit, will chart a course for how journalists everywhere can tackle the climate story in ways that drive attention and impact and highlight solutions and justice. The assembled journalists will draw lessons and inspiration from some of the best climate coverage of the past year, as exemplified by winners of the 2023 Covering Climate Now Journalism Awards, which were just announced. The conference, by the way, will be live streamed and recordings will remain available. With the planet on fire, more and better news coverage is itself an essential climate solution. Only when the general public understands what is happening, why, and what needs to be done can enough people compel governments and corporations to change course. Many news outlets have made significant progress in recent years, but the news industry as a whole is still not matching the scale of the crisis with the kind of coverage that's required. Until that happens, journalism is letting down our readers, viewers, and listeners, and letting Netflix and Billie Eilish handle a job that's ours to do. That's a piece from The Nation by Mark Hertzgard and Kyle Pope, and about what's going on at the Columbia School of Journalism this week, the fact that there's nothing more important than what's going on with our climate. Got 9:27, almost 9:28 right now. Going to take a break. Stick around. You're tuned into your local civic media radio station.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. Beginning at 6, Up North News. Then at 8, Stu Daniels on Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
ABC News, I'm Justin Finch. The five Americans freed from an Iranian prison are now back in the U.S. Here's ABC News Chief White House Correspondent Mary Bruce.
After years of negotiations just a short while ago, the five Americans touching down finally back home. It comes as President Biden is here preparing to deliver his annual address at the United Nations General Assembly. Now, the Iranian president is also here at the UN General Assembly, but don't expect any kind of meeting between him and President Biden. The White House is making it very clear that this deal is not a sign that the U.S. relationship with Iran is going to be changing in any way. They say they are not easing up on Iran.
India has expelled a senior Canadian diplomat and accuses Canada of interfering in its internal affairs. That coming a day after Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau said there were credible allegations that India was connected to the assassination of a Sikh activist in Canada. This is ABC News.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers and Attorney General Josh Call have joined a coalition of 24 attorneys general to challenge Idaho's near-total ban on abortion. According to a press release, an amicus brief filed by the federal government argues that Idaho's abortion ban conflicts with the Emergency Medical Treatment and Labor Act, a federal law requiring doctors and hospitals to provide necessary abortion care to pregnant people in the case of medical emergencies. Wisconsin lawmakers are in the process of amending a state bill to increase fines for drivers who fail to stop at a school bus displaying flashing red lights. Currently, the maximum fine for drivers who pass a school bus when they shouldn't is $300. If the state bill is successfully amended, $300 would be the minimum fine, and it could run drivers up to $1,000. Lawmakers hope the increased fines will cut down on distracted driving and make school children safer. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Yeah. Todd Albo would normally be sharing his dulcet tones with us, but you'll recall that last week, Todd was having issues with the cable company, with an internet connection. I'm now thinking, Todd Albo, did you break Spectrum? Are you responsible for this ESPN mess?
I seem to broke everything else, so it wouldn't surprise me, no.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings, 6 till 8. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know what's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
It's never personal, only politics. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show with Dom and Crute. Weekdays from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Make your own kind of music. That's for sure. 9:34. Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show. We got sunshine and 60 degrees up in Hayward right now. 59 degrees, mostly cloudy in Richland Center. And make your own kind of music. Cass Elliott, Mamas and the Papas. By the way, she, Cass Elliott, would have been 80 years old today. Yeah, born on this date in 1943. Passed away way too young in 1974. She passed away. And she had a great voice, left us with a lot of great music. And speaking of making your own kind of music, there is a United States senator who's off on his own. He's gone rogue. As you probably know, there are members of the House of Representatives, the MAGA group, who are threatening to shut down the government. If they don't get their way, they're stomping their feet and saying, oh, there's too much spending going on. We want to throw a wrench into the whole system so that everything shuts down, right? And they don't even care that the fact that the shutdown of the United States government would not be good for anyone. Well, you don't expect that kind of behavior in the Senate, right? Those guys, those 100 senators are much more serious and understand how important the function of government is, right? Well, there's one senator who doesn't understand. Who do you think that is? You have a guess? If you said our senator, Ron Johnson from Wisconsin, you're right. Got a headline here from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Ron Johnson's blockade of spending measure puts government shutdown in focus. This piece just posted 2 hours ago by Lawrence Andrea of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Dateline Washington. It says Senate proceedings remained largely at a standstill as of Tuesday morning following a move by U.S. Senator Ron Johnson from Wisconsin to block the advancement of must-pass spending measures as the threat of a government shutdown looms over Capitol Hill. Johnson's maneuver to object to proceed to amendment votes on a so-called minibus, as opposed to omnibus, minibus package of spending bills led Senate leadership on Monday to move to suspend Senate rules in an effort to override the Oshkosh Republicans' blockade. Wisconsin's senior senator last Thursday took issue with the bundling of measures that would fund the Departments of Agriculture and Transportation with legislation to fund military construction and the Department of Veterans Affairs. The Military Construction and Veterans Affairs bill, as well as the other spending bills, should be considered at one at a time, Johnson maintained. Congress has until September 30th. I might remind you that today is the 19th. Congress has until September 30th to pass legislation to fund the government's various agencies and avoid a shutdown. Now, here's a quote from Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer. He said this on the Senate floor yesterday, and referring to Senator Johnson, he said, "One member mimicking the House Freedom Caucus has derailed the Senate and prevented us from considering amendments, including Republican amendments. It's a reminder that in both chambers, a small band of hard right Republicans are dead set on grinding down the gears of government. For these MAGA Republicans, it's as if gridlock is a virtue and cooperation is a crime. I ask this small group of Republican senators, what happened to wanting to do appropriations in regular order?" End quote. That quote from Chuck Schumer. Getting back to the piece here, it says, still, Johnson on Monday stood by his decision to hold up proceedings on the spending package. He called for fiscal sanity. Kind of ironic, huh? He called for fiscal sanity and reiterated his desire for the Senate to take up the 12 spending bills, which all passed out of committees with bipartisan support, individually. Quote, "This is not regular order. If this was regular order, they wouldn't need my consent to break their own rules," Johnson told the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel when asked about his minibus objection.
He said, "We need the House to start passing appropriations bills one at a time. We need to bring them up and pass them here in the Senate one at a time. Actually, that process should have started last May, and the fact that it started here in September just shows how grossly dysfunctional this place is." Well, if he wants to see why it's dysfunctional, all he has to do is look in the mirror. Getting back to this piece from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, it says, "Johnson's single-handed roadblock has drawn the ire of Democrats and Republicans alike. Maine Republican United States Senator Susan Collins, vice chair of the Senate Appropriations Committee, pushed back on Ron Johnson's move last week, noting it holds up Republican amendments to the legislation. She claimed it could lead to an omnibus, a massive 12-bill spending package. And Johnson, Senator Ron Johnson of Wisconsin, on Monday told the Journal Sentinel Congress would probably end up with an omnibus package, regardless of what he did with the minibus. The back and forth is playing out under the threat of a government shutdown at the end of the month. Senate Democrats' decision to move Monday to suspend Senate rules would end the delay caused by Ron Johnson. Still, it is not a guaranteed solution because such a move needs 67 votes to pass the narrowly divided chamber. A vote is expected later this week. Meanwhile, House Speaker Kevin McCarthy is working to gather support from within his conference for a short-term stopgap measure known as a continuing resolution that would keep the government open past the September 30th deadline. Members of the House Freedom Caucus and the more moderate Main Street Caucus negotiated the one-month temporary funding bill over the weekend. The proposal would cut last year's spending levels by 1% and result in nearly an 8% cut to non-defense spending, while also leaving Veterans Affairs and disaster relief funding untouched. The Republican stopgap measure, which has no future in a Senate controlled by Democrats, includes Republican border security and immigration proposals. A number of Republicans on Monday, however, came out against the legislation, leaving its future in the House this week uncertain. Quote, this is a quote from Chuck Schumer. He said, "It reads like a hard right screed." Schumer, the Senate Majority Leader, said of the Republican proposal, noting it does not provide any additional aid to Ukraine. Schumer said, "This is not a serious proposal for avoiding a government shutdown, and if passed, would never have enough votes to make it through the Senate." That stopgap measure could be taken up in the House this week and is likely to get the support of the majority of the Republican conference, including those in Wisconsin. Here is a quote from Brian Steil, congressman. He says, "I'm in favor of it," U.S. Representative Brian Steil told the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel outside the Capitol Monday evening. He said, "It secures the border, which has been a complete disaster under the Biden administration." That's his opinion. "It does that while keeping the government open. It's a great win." Asked about pushback over the measure within the Republican Party, Brian Steil responded, "We have a narrow conference. Everything is hard. We've been underestimated. We overdeliver. It's the same as the previous debate with the debt ceiling." He said, "We'll get there." But with Senator Ron Johnson now putting up a fight, it's not clear exactly how they will get there. At 9:44 right now, and the next story that I want to get to share with you is about this organization called PragerU. Have you ever heard of this? PragerU? Dennis Prager? Well, Dennis Prager, who is an ultra-conservative extremist, wants to teach children, some may say indoctrinate them, about the real history, of the United States and what's really going on. Of course, it's completely different than the real history and what's really going on. I have a headline here from the Progressive, progressive.org, that says PragerU's propaganda is now being taught in schools. The media group was just approved to spread its brand of historical disinformation to classrooms in Florida, Oklahoma, and New Hampshire. Now imagine these students, young minds in a classroom, eager to learn, and they're going to be taking in this propaganda, this disinformation, actually misinformation about our history. I'll give you a little bit of this before we go to our break. This was written by Robert McCoy and posted late yesterday afternoon. It says, in 2022, the conservative media organization PragerU launched PragerU Kids, an online video series intended for K-12 students as a purported antidote to left-wing indoctrination in schools. Quote, this is from the website of PragerU. It says, woke agendas are infiltrating classrooms, culture, and social media. Is there anywhere that's still safe for our kids? Yes, it's called PragerU Kids. This summer, Florida's Department of Education approved the organization's videos for use at district discretion as supplemental material in K-6 classrooms. Perhaps an unsurprising decision from a state that is currently waging a war on woke indoctrination. In parentheses, read, instruction about race and sexual orientation in public schools. You don't want your kids learning about race and race throughout history, and you don't want your kids to learn about sexual orientation, right? Again, that goes back to the diversity, equity, and inclusion. Let's not include those people, is their thought. Although Florida was the first to do so at the time, PragerU told Fox News that more states are coming on board. Indeed, it has since been reported that New Hampshire followed suit, with its Board of Education approving PragerU as an educational vendor for a financial literacy course on September 14th. Oklahoma has now also announced a partnership with PragerU Kids to develop an Oklahoma-specific history curriculum. Got to take a break. It'll be a short one. Stick around. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
Hey, little cobra, don't you know you're gonna shut them down? I took my cobra down to the track, hitched to the back of my Cadillac. Everyone was there just a waiting for me. There were plenty of stingrays and XKs.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. The Maggie Dawn Show.
My immediate thought when I read about this and then watched it today was, please don't die, Senator McConnell. I couldn't disagree more strongly with Senator McConnell's policy positions, but he has been one of the only elected officials that's in a leadership position for the Republican Party that hasn't completely supplicated himself to Donald Trump.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weeknights at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Broad.
I didn't realize that Tucker Carlson's like hemorrhaging viewers. And I heard yesterday someone was like, oh yeah, like no one's actually watching it anymore. I was like, oh, yeah, that doesn't really surprise me. It's kind of like Threads.
it was a thing for about 5 minutes.
A week, everyone was excited, and then they moved on.
Wow, it's like Scott Walker's presidential campaign. It's a big deal for about a week.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast. Highs level off around 75 this afternoon under overcast skies. Winds out of the southeast, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Lows around 55. Tonight, partly cloudy skies. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Tomorrow, highs around 83. Upper 70s Thursday with a chance for scattered storms. Turning cooler Friday with highs in the upper 70s. Chance for storms continues. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 61.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. At 10, As Goes Wisconsin. Then at noon, Civic Media Network News. On Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Someday, some way, you'll realize that you've been blind. Yes, darling, you're going to need me again. It's just a matter of time. Go on. Until you reach the end of the line. But I know you'll pass my way again. It's just a matter of time.
Just a matter of time. After Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show. 9:51 right now on this Tuesday morning. Music from Brooke Benton. Born on this date in 1931. And we've got 63 degrees in La Crosse right now under partly cloudy skies. In Richland Center, it's mostly cloudy with a temperature of 60 degrees right now. And welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show. Just before the break, we were discussing PragerU. Dennis Prager, ultra-conservative extremist, has a curriculum for kids to be taught in school about the revisionist history that he wants kids to learn. And this disinformation is approved for classrooms now in Florida, Oklahoma, and New Hampshire. And how long do you think it'll be until it's available or being promoted or being used in other red states around the nation? Probably not too long is my guess. I was going over this story at the progressive.org, written by Robert McCoy, posted late yesterday, talking about the fact that children, students in schools in at least three states now will be learning about history through the eyes of the ultra-conservative extremist, Dennis Prager. I was to this point here where it says among the material now greenlit in Florida and Oklahoma is Leo and Layla's History Adventures, a cartoon program intended for third through fifth graders. The series follows the titular protagonists, a brother and sister, as they time travel to seek the advice of historical figures on developments within their school, their community, and their social circle. Most episodes follow an encounter between Leo and Layla and a renowned figure from the past who offers the show's young viewers, quote, lessons that teach the truth about Western civilization. And anytime somebody tells you they want to tell you the real truth, man, you should be asking questions and be suspicious. Getting back to the story, it says, Leo and Layla falls far short of these lofty aims, as PragerU Kids appears less keen on creating a program that offers an honest glimpse into the past than on warping it with selective omissions and mythologizing, molding the historical figures depicted into vehicles for right-wing messaging and cudgels in the modern conservative culture war. For example, in one episode, while watching the news, Leo and Layla hear about local police abolitionists who want the U.S. system torn down. To learn more about abolition, they time travel to 1852 to meet Frederick Douglass, who recounts his disagreements with fellow abolitionist William Lloyd Garrison and teaches the siblings the virtues of compromise. Garrison, PragerU's Douglass, Frederick Douglass, says, quote, refuses all compromises, demands immediate change, and if he doesn't get what he wants, he likes to set things on fire. End quote. It says here, we've got that in our time, too. Leo and Layla interject, and Frederick Douglass admonishes them to avoid radicals like his ex-friend Garrison, heeding only those willing to work inside our system. The video creates an impression of Frederick Douglass as a staunch anti-radical, committed to combating injustice only within the bounds of the system. But nothing could be further from the truth. While PragerU describes Frederick Douglass's falling out with Garrison, it curiously fails to mention his friendship with John Brown, who influenced Frederick Douglass to look beyond mere moral suasion as a means to oppose slavery. From his first meeting with John Brown in 1847 onward, Frederick Douglass would later write, quote, my utterances became tinged by the color of this man's strong impressions, end quote. In 1849, Frederick Douglass, said he would welcome the intelligence tomorrow that a slave revolt was sweeping the South. And in 1852, the year in which Leo and Layla's fictional visit is set, Frederick Douglass told a Pittsburgh crowd, quote, the only way to make the fugitive slave law a dead letter is to make half a dozen or more dead kidnappers. In other words, Frederick Douglass's political views at the time were practically the opposite of those in his PragerU portrayal. In another Leo and Layla episode, the siblings consult Benjamin Franklin during his tenure as ambassador to France on the notion of the American dream. The diplomat tells the children that in 1780s France, most people are stuck doing the same thing their entire lives due to hereditary titles within the ancient regime. Across the Atlantic, in America, however, individual citizens determine the outcome of their lives. When Layla notes that despite the absence of a monarchy or nobility in the United States, some are still born into better situations than others, Franklin holds that the natural outcome from equal opportunity is that some will always have less and some will always have more. Be on the lookout for PragerU coming to a school near you. 9:57, almost 9:58. Looks like we run out of time again today. Thank you for tuning in. Do something nice for someone today, and I'll see you back here tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock.
This is where I belong. This is my home. This is where I belong. This is my home. This is where I belong. Oh yeah.
Medicare open enrollment starts October 15th. Countless mailers and TV commercials will tell you you're missing out on some benefits. But don't be tricked into an Advantage plan you don't need or that doesn't cover your current medication. Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol can help you prevent, detect, and report Medicare fraud. Visit Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol online at smpwi.org.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
You're listening to WLAK 1260 AM Amory and WBZH 910 AM W245 CT Hayward. Always streaming on the Civic ABC Media News app.